This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's radio. Free radio.
Dave, tell me your initial reaction to the decision by the judge this morning to uphold the decision to evict Toronto residents from St. James Park.
Not surprised at all. This is one of the most conservative judges in the city. This man actually argued against gay rights, so we weren't expecting any sort of fair, balanced decision to come out of someone who's a crony of Harper and so no surprise on that end.
Okay. What's the mood in the camp after the decision came down this morning, just after 9?
Resolve. I think people are ready to defend our community, as well as planning and moving forward. And I think actually a bit of excitement in that when power is interfered and occupies in, say, Oakland or New York, it's actually catalyzed greater movement building afterwards.
Mm-hmm. So what are your next steps?
To continue to plan, be ready and mobilized to defend this space, and we're already seeing folks show up to begin that process.
Has the city given you any kind of indication how long they're going to give you to pack things up and get out?
Not that I'm aware of at this moment, but okay. Things change by the second.
Absolutely. What other plans are in the midst in terms of today? I know you've got a general assembly in a few minutes here. What else are you planning over today and tomorrow and the day after?
I'll be doing a training on nonviolent direct action this afternoon in order to prepare people to defend the camp and using tactics of nonviolent direct action.
Have you heard anything from the labor movement? Of course, they've been great supporters of you so far, the Ontario Federation of Labor, QP, OPSU. What kind of support are they prepared to give you?
They'll be here.
Okay, very good. Thanks so much, Dave.
Okay.
Judy, your response to the decision that was handed down this morning to uphold the eviction order?
Well, you know, on one level, it's outrageous because, people's charter right to protest is being violated so that because somebody complained they couldn't walk their dog. I mean, it's just, it really shows what kind of society we live in and what the priorities are. But on the other hand, that's what I expected. That's what all the judges are deciding. Judges are part of the system, and the system doesn't like change. So, it's part of the process. You know, first they ignore you, then they make fun of you, then they attack you. it's like, so now we're in the attack phase, and it's not working. Like in New York, everywhere around, in Oakland, everywhere they've evicted the movement grows. And that's what will happen here, too. Whatever people decide about whether to resist the eviction or not.
Can the occupiers appeal the decision before they decide to resist?
No, it's not. There's not time to do that. Also, I personally think it would be a waste of time, but that's just my opinion.
Right.
I think that the courts are not where to go with this. I think in the streets is where to go with this.
Okay. Yeah. So you support the occupiers' decision to resist?
I think it's up to them. You know, I don't think it's up to me to decide whether they should resist or not. I think it's up to them. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who are putting their body on the line, not me. If they resist, I'll support it. Yeah. If they don't, I'll support that.
Yeah. We're at day 38 in the movement. Yeah. Your perspective on what you've seen here in Toronto and the movement in general?
Well, I think Toronto's kind of the... Toronto's like the... I don't know what to call it. It's sort of the most organized, the occupation that has... most successfully grown, most successfully dealt with authorities, but it doesn't matter, right? Because they're against the movement. That's what they're trying to kill. They're trying to kill the movement, but they can't kill the movement. So I'm not worried about that. I think Toronto's, it started out very sketchy, and now it's great. It's amazing what they've done here in such a short period of time. It's amazing how integrated people, homeless people and people with mental health issues are. I mean, it's fantastic what they've done. We should be celebrating them, not evicting them.
Mm-hmm. Where does the movement go from here if the occupation does end? Even if it doesn't end today or tomorrow, even if it ended 6 months from now, it wouldn't, the physical occupation wouldn't stay forever. So yeah. Where do you go from here?
Well, the physical occupation is just the beginning. You know, there's other phases. Like in Spain, they've gone into the community, they've organized. In Catalonia, for example, they've organized their own money called eco money. They've occupied health centers that are closing and gotten doctors and nurses to volunteer to start them again. They're creating a model society. That's what's happening. And I think that's what they're going to do in New York. You know, right now, Occupy the Hood is organizing in Brooklyn, and they're occupying houses where the heat's going to be turned off to stop them from turning the heat off. That's the kind of thing that people, that the Occupy movement's doing around the world, is creating alternatives. And that's what this is, it's hard to do at the beginning. It's hard to know how to do it. So by taking care of each other, by feeding each other, by opening your community to homeless people and to the most marginalized people in society, you start to understand what is the kind of world that we want. And then you start to believe, yeah, and we can do it. We can build that world. Now we're determined. Now we know how to, we have an idea that we can do it. So now let's go into the neighborhoods and the community and let's do it.
Yeah. Are you disappointed that there's so much focus on the occupation itself and whether they should be allowed to stay or not be allowed to stay, rather than resolving the social justice issues that are behind the movement?
Well, you know, the social justice issues behind the movement are ginormous, and they're not going to resolve them. Capitalism can't. My opinion is capitalism can't resolve them.
No, but the fact that the city won't even, the mayor won't even come down here and say, okay, what kinds of changes can be made right here in this neighborhood?
Yeah, but they don't want to make the changes, right? Like, that's assuming they want to make the changes. You know, because Occupy has put their finger on such an important fact that cannot be denied. Mm-hmm. Therefore, everybody, like Rosie DiMano today, she writes, oh, I'm with them when they talk about inequality. Yeah, when's the last time she wrote about economic inequality, right? She's not with us at all, right? And so it's bullshit. You know, they're not with us on those issues, but they had to admit that it's true. Oh, yes, they have a point. Now we'll have to study that. Yeah, I've heard it before, you know?
Yeah.
And that's not what this is about. This is about, yes, raising the issue, but it's also about recognizing that our current political system has been bought and paid for by the corporate elite, in our case, by the oil companies, and that we have to do it ourselves. It's going to happen. And show people what the alternative is so they can get more support. I got to go.
Very good. Thanks, Judy.
Bye.
Greg, your initial reaction to the judge's decision to uphold the eviction order at Occupy Toronto?
Certainly. It's sort of standard Canadian double talk. They've said that we do have a right to protest. One of the main distinctives of our protest has been that we physically occupy this space, that we are staying here 24/7. And so it's a little bit like saying, well, you can stand up to us as long as we can cut your legs off.
Okay. What do you think the next steps should be for the Occupy movement here?
Well, we do have permission from the church to maintain the large yurt here and put another yurt up called a thought yurt, which will have computers in it and people can come visit and learn about what the movement's about. And we plan on using that as a hub. So regardless if they take the tents and the possessions away, if they tear down our library, whatever they plan on doing, everywhere else they seem to like to take everyone's possessions and throw them in a wood chipper. So they may well do that. I suspect they'll probably be a little softer about it here. They're talking about negotiation, but it's always negotiation of us leaving. And we're not planning on leaving, so.
Mm-hmm. What about the food tent? Because food has been a huge factor here in this occupation, and not just feeding occupiers, but feeding homeless
people. Feeding people that come through, anyone that comes through. We put out at least 1,000 meals a day here.
Yeah, and that's incredible. Are you going to be able to continue to serve food down here?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure on that particular point. I have to find out for you.
Okay, very good. Greg, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Okay, so Joey, the eviction order came down, last week. It's been upheld by the judge. Your initial reaction?
It's unlawful. It's against our Charter of Rights, and if this is what democracy looks like, this is not what it should look like. We're here. We're peaceful. I mean, it's okay for Twilight fans and Bieber fans to camp out for 4 or 5 days in anticipation to see their concert. As long as they're spending money, it's okay to camp out. But we can't camp out for 35 days in the name of democracy.
What's the mood in the camp after the decision was made?
You know, people are a little disappointed that the decision that particular decision was made, but for the most part, a lot of us expected that was the way it was going to go. I mean, like, the judge and the government are working in the best interest of the corporations and not the people. So it's no surprise to me that they came to this decision.
Now, have some people packed it up and decided to go, and others have decided to stay? What's the ratio?
The ratio, I'd say probably around 5 to 10% have decided to go and pack up today.
Okay.
While the rest of them are staying here.
Okay. And what are the next steps over the next few days as you need to respond to that decision, and then of course the city will have to respond to you?
The three R's: retreat, regroup, and reoccupy. We're not the only occupation out there, and if you look at all the other occupations and their tactics, they've done similar things. So it would be safe to assume that we would be exhibiting similar tactics and similar ideas that other occupations have been doing.
And as I understand it, there is nonviolent resistance training going on in the event that the police come into the camp. Can you explain what that entails?
Sitting down, linking arms, and not being in assaultive in any way, shape, or form. The police will be the first ones to strike, and the only ones to strike.
Joey, thanks so much for your time. So, Anna, what was your initial reaction when you heard the decision that the judge upheld the eviction order this morning?
I don't think it's anything that's going to stop us. I think it's a sad day whenever the city bylaws override the Charter of Rights and Freedoms that are in our country, which I know there's actually a group that are filing an official complaint with the UN, which is awesome. But I feel like this is just one more reason to show the public why we're here. The fact that that is the state our country is in, where that's the levels of priority, is the aesthetics of a park,
right,
is a pretty good indicator of why this movement is in existence. And I think it's only going to grow and become more powerful. I do not think that this is in any way a defeat. And I think it will evolve and turn into, you know, an evolution of the process, an evolution of the way we have things right now. I don't think encampments will end, but I think that there will be more infrastructure behind that as well.
Do you think there'll be more focus now on the movement and less on the occupation if the occupation ends here in St. James Park?
Well, I think the occupation will continue, as I say. I don't think that's going to stop. The occupation's always kind of, in my opinion, stood as a symbol of the voices of the people, not necessarily the entire movement. But the occupation is a very important facet of that.
Now, I see that there are a lot of people packing up stuff, but that's not to leave. That's to actually get closer to the church.
That's to get the things closer to the church, or to get things that they don't want destroyed, which will inevitably happen, to get that off-site. Hey, Brooks. Brooks, I need to talk to you in a minute.
Okay. So, and I understand the media tents moved down there.
Yep, logistics, we moved there on Tuesday, actually.
Okay, yeah. Logistics is still up over the other side, though.
Yes.
Are they planning to remain where they are?
I don't know. I'm not a member of the logistics committee, so I'm unsure of what they're doing.
Okay.
Sure, they've got their little plan going on, though.
What's the mood around the camp right now in general?
I don't think at all that it's a defeatist attitude. I think people are feeling almost in a way more invigorated. I think it has breathed in a bit more urgency, which is good. And I think, honestly, that people have been extremely optimistic and are also in the same view that this is not going to end. It's just going to continue to grow stronger.
If it doesn't end and it continues to grow stronger, what about the police presence that will enter the park at some point? As I understand, the city is giving occupants an opportunity to leave voluntarily, but if they don't, they will send police in. What happens from there?
There are people who are going to stand here and nonviolently stand up for their rights according to the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which, you know, that is a very fundamental right that we have that's being taken away. So obviously there will be people here. They will be nonviolent, so we'll see what the police reaction is to that. Obviously we've had a bit of a patchy history here in the city in the past couple years, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think most people have been talking about singing, actually, and playing music and dancing, so
okay. It's
a response to that.
Any indication when the city will ask the police to move in?
Not as of yet. According to the trespass act, or according to the thing that was processed through in court, technically they're not allowed to come in until midnight. But whether or not they decide to come in before will remain to be seen.
We're at day 38 in the movement. An incredible amount has been achieved over the last 38 days. Where do you go from here, especially as you prepare for the winter months?
Well, I guess we have to see how things play out, right? You know?
Okay. Anna, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, not a problem.
It's assembling right now!
It's assembling right now!
It hurts me to say!
It hurts me to say!
That they are not giving us a chance!
That they are not giving us a chance!
To fulfill our process!
To fulfill our process!
It is advised!
It is advised!
That those! Who absolutely! Cannot be arrested!
Leave now!
They won't start arresting people immediately. Stay here.
Support us.
And when the time comes, we'll be able to separate. It's a question of how long.
So be ready.
But don't abandon ship. This is just a trial run. We're here for the long term, folks. What that looks like is up to us to decide. But a few people assembling. It's the same thing we're doing here.
Don't just leave because of that.
And Misha's right.
They will give us a disbursement order.
But if you have valuables here, Just know that they are assembling.
If they can't disturb a religious ceremony, couldn't a bunch of us gather at the sacred fire and have a religious ceremony?
I have heard.
That the issue of the sacred fire
is a federal issue.
So it should be protected.
Or rabble.ca. This is John Bonner. Thank you for listening to John Bonner's audio blog, hosted by rabble.ca and the Rabble Podcast Network.